Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. So we were supposed to do Game with the Guys today and have basically 610 Day out at Legends Field watching and supporting the Kansas City Monarchs. We are unable to do that today because of the weather, and the game has been postponed. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, we will give a new date. We'll try to have some more tickets to give away. But if you have already won tickets, your tickets will be good for the rescheduled date. We'll do it here in the next 3 to 4 weeks. We'll find a Thursday, a Friday in which the Royals are out of town and encourage you guys to come out and watch some baseball with us. Just wanted to give you guys an update. We will not be going to Legends Field today if you were planning on there. Nobody will be there today because they are not playing today. We will have more information tomorrow. I would apologize, but I can't do anything about the weather. It's very unfortunate that we are not able to go out to the game today. 913-576-7610. Someone asked, Carrington, are you good at wiffle ball? Good. The best. If there was a wiffle ball league, I'd be the Mike Trout. I'd be the Fernando Tatis. Rob, why are you looking at me like this? Like this is not factual. I'm an elite wiffle ball player. I'm kind of like Shohei Ohtani. I can pitch in a spot if you need me to. I'm also going to be your two or your three hitter. I'm going to put the ball in play, and I'm going to be a great player for you. I don't know why you're looking at me with such confusion here. There's nothing to be confused about my elite level wiffle ball abilities I'm telling you about. Someone said there's multiple wiffle ball leagues. I've mastered the game at this point. Why do I need to play with random people when I'm out? I'm out the game. I'm retired from wiffle ball. I was basically the Derek Jeter of wiffle ball, and I quit. That's what happened. I quit. Someone said, C-Dot, you'd be Chris Getz. Okay, calm down. I don't know why you guys just take these unnecessary shots at me the way you guys do. I haven't done anything to you guys. We got a lot to get into in the 5 o'clock hour. If you missed it, we had Jimmy Gobble on the show today. We only have one more day of Mystery Royal. I've really enjoyed having this blast from the past. We only have one more day. I don't know who's coming on the show tomorrow. I always find out in the morning. But we did have Jimmy Gobble on the show, which I haven't heard from Jimmy Gobble in quite some time. I really enjoyed talking to him. So we'll play that in a little bit. But let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go.
Well, the top of the day in Kansas City is that it's list season over at ESPN. Earlier this week, Jeremy Fowler put out the top quarterback list, the top running back list, the top receiver list. Today was the top tight end list, and Chiefs fans, you're not going to like it. At number one on Jeremy Fowler's list was 49ers tight end George Kittle, with Travis Kelce checking in at number two. Carrington, do you or Chiefs fans have legitimate beef with Travis Kelce being on the two line?
I don't have any beef with the list, but I do have a question. This is the second year in a row that ESPN has done this, where they have put George Kittle as the best tight end in the NFL. At some point, do we at least have the conversation that maybe George Kittle is the best tight end in the NFL? I'm just wondering. Do we at least have that conversation? Because the box scores are firmly in Kelce's favor. The three seasons that Kelce has put together, I don't think you can really find a comparison this side of Rob Gronkowski. I would say these 3 years for Kelce are better than any three-year stretch of any tight end in the NFL not named Rob Gronkowski. But there are people in the NFL circles that firmly believe that George Kittle's better than him. I think this is one of those coin flip situations where I think if you poll 100 people in the NFL, I think you get a 50-50 on both sides. But I do think it's pretty interesting that in two consecutive seasons, and I do find it interesting that Kittle was named number one on this list, and Kittle wasn't healthy last year, and people still hold him in that high regard. I expect San Francisco to bounce back. I expect Kittle to bounce back. If I had a vote, I would put Travis Kelce number one, and I would have had Kittle second, and I would have had Darren Waller three. But I do think it's pretty interesting that this is an anonymous poll that they do every year asking NFL people, and Kittle continues to come in number one.
Earlier this morning on ESPN's Get Up, former GM Mike Tannenbaum was on there, and he had some things to say about Chiefs division rival Los Angeles Chargers.
Last year, the Chargers were 31st in the NFL in pass protection. So they added three linemen in terms of two in free agency. They added one in the draft, Rashawn Slater from Northwestern. So with an improved offensive line, a healthy number of weapons, they have closed the gap, in my opinion, dramatically to the Chiefs. I think they could compete this year for the playoffs, and I don't think there's a big gap between the two.
Now, a media member celebrating the Chargers and simultaneously insulting the Chiefs is red meat to Kansas City fans, but Charger Dot, does he have a point?
Yo, stop feeding into this and calling me Charger Dot. You know I'm not Charger Dot. Stop doing that. I would say even in that own clip, he contradicted himself. He contradicted himself in his own thing. They could maybe make the playoffs. Is anybody saying that about Kansas City? They could maybe. Kansas City is a lock to make the playoffs. Tell me a scenario in which you think the Chiefs missed the playoffs this year. I can't think of it. They're making the playoffs. So if you think that the other team could possibly make the playoffs, to me, that is an admission that you believe there is a variance between these two teams and a gap that exists between these two teams. I do think the Chargers are going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to be either the sixth or the seventh best team in the AFC. I think Kansas City is going to be either the first or the second best team in the AFC this year in the regular season. So I do still think there's a pretty noticeable gap between where Kansas City is and where the Chargers is. And I will caution people when it comes to the Chargers. I guess I don't have to caution Kansas City. You're always cautious about them. I got to see what Herbert looks like in regular situations and scenarios. We have not seen him. Justin Herbert has not played one single game on the road, packed house, screaming on 3rd-and-8, you got to make a play. He has not been in that scenario yet. Mahomes has been in that scenario. Lamar Jackson's been in that scenario. Josh Allen's been in that scenario. I know what to expect from them in those situations. Herbert hasn't faced that yet. So I do feel every Chargers conversation needs to come with an asterisk where I thought Herbert was a star last year. I think if you put every player in the NFL into a fictional draft, I think he'd be a top 10 pick. But I do think we need to acknowledge how unique last year was for the Chargers, how they need to answer for that. They also need to stay healthy.
Three.
Someone on the text line called me the Ken Harvey of Whipple Ball. So an all-star? That's what I am? An all-star? Yo, y'all gonna stop disrespecting Ken Harvey, bruh. That's the one thing we're not gonna do, is we're not gonna disrespect Ken Harvey. All-star Ken Harvey. This is basically how it sum up my ability in Whipple Ball. I'm Mark Redman on the mound, and I'm Ken Harvey at the plate. I'm an all-star. I'm an all-star.
No part of that sounds good. Someone on the text line does say, you talked this way about bags, too, and no-showed. I will say this. Cody and Gold, I know you're listening. If you want the smoke and bags, me and Carrington will trump you.
When did we no-show? You couldn't go. I'm not. The point was that me and you could be the midday show. If you couldn't go, then how could I compete? You had to work that day.
Correct.
The thing about them is we work in the same place. We can set bags up wherever. We don't need a lot of space to play bags. We can set bags up in the lobby. The midday show is the ones that are ducking us when it comes to the bags. Not the other way around. Someone said, CDOT, Chicken and Pickle, they're doing beer Olympics at the end of the month. If you could pick anybody to be your partner, who would be it? Rob!
Bank. I'd pick Bank, but...
I'm picking you, Rob. We a team,
you're my
bro.
Guy. You know what? We're a team.
Ebony and Ivory, man, together in perfect harmony now. Come on. I'm Danny Glover. You Mel Gibson. We
really?
Two
you, could, you couldn't find any other analogy? I had to be Mel Gibson.
I don't know who to give you. I couldn't give you Jackie Chan. That didn't seem right. I don't know who else to give you. That's who it. You know what? I'm Eddie Murphy. You Nick Nolte.
There we go.
You can be Nick Nolte. All right. That's fine. I'll give you Nick Nolte.
Four.
What's Nick Nolte up to these days?
I have no idea. Well, for the first time in seemingly months, we have an update on current Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson and his on-the-field things as Adam Schefter was on 97.5 in Philadelphia discussing the Texans QB.
No team in the league with more draft capital than the Philadelphia Eagles. No team. They're also, I think that roster is better than people realize. Spoken to a couple people about it. Not in the Eagles organization, other people. I'm trying to think, who was the one that told me watch out for the Eagles this year? Somebody was telling me that the other day. And I just think that the Eagles, are more equipped to make a run at Deshaun Watson than any team out there.
Tell me about the PR.
Well, look, again, what I was
this is a different era. This isn't 10 years ago. This is Me Too. This is 2021.
I understand.
You know what I mean?
Let's see how it plays out first. Let's see. But what I would say is, again, if there are charges and, you know, he gets in prison or something happens to that effect, something that's far-reaching and damaging and awful, like a lot of this stuff seems, then it's not happening.
So, Adam,
I'm operating under the assumption that somehow this will be settled or he will serve his discipline for the league or whatever punishment he has coming, whatever's fair and just. Once that is done, I just think that at that point in time, whenever it is that he is deemed ready to play by legal authorities, by the National Football League, to me, the Philadelphia Eagles should be waiting.
Carrington, putting his legal issues to the side for next, we don't know. Do you think Schefter is correct and the Eagles could be the perfect landing spot for the current Texans quarterback?
I don't mean to not answer your question, but it is impossible to remove Deshaun Watson from the legal issues. He has 22 allegations. We're not talking about a single instance of he said, she said, which obviously is inappropriate and should be dealt with. But we're talking about 22 individual instances with Deshaun Watson. I think it's mostly irresponsible to talk about these things without knowing what's going to happen in that situation. If Deshaun Watson was a regular person, he would probably be going to jail. I was not there in those situations. I was not in the room, but if you get 22 separate accusations of sexual assault, you are going to jail in that scenario. You are going to jail. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. I thought what Schefter said there was interesting, where he's operating under the basis of a settlement. If we had to be honest, that's probably how this ends. How it probably ends is Deshaun Watson pays a lot of money to get these women to not continue to move forward in a legal proceeding. That's probably how this ends. And then we can have the conversation of what is Deshaun Watson's trade value after that conversation. But until this is 100% cleared up, and I find it hard to believe that that's going to be 100% cleared up here in the next 3 weeks. I mean, training camp is right around the corner. When's the Chiefs' first day of training camp? The 30th?
I think the 28th is quarterback's report, maybe.
We're 2 weeks away from the start of training camp. I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to be on the field practicing with the Houston Texans. I don't know how you can think that given right now everything that's going on in his personal life. Excuse me. I don't know how you could say that. Text line 913-576-7610. C-Dot, why can't Rob be Woody Harrelson? All right, that's fair. I don't mind giving you Woody Harrelson. Rob, you know what? I thought Nick Nolte was good. I can see why you don't want to be Mel Gibson, so I apologize to you. If you want to be Woody Harrelson, that's fine. I have no issues giving you Woody Harrelson. No issues in giving you Woody. So I want to play this for you guys. I have really, really enjoyed having these former Royals on the show. Maybe it is just me, but I love the 2003 Royals. I understand they won the World Series in 14 and 15, but there's something that's just magical about the 2003 Royals. It was just so out of the blue. It was just so unsuspecting. They had a lot of great characters on that team. Ken Harvey was on that team. Mike McDougal was on that team. Angel Barroa was winning Rookie of the Year. They had Jose Lima. The Royals had never had anybody who had the swag, the style, and grace of a Jose Lima. They just were a lot of fun. Next year, I wouldn't have a problem if we didn't track down every single person who was on the 03 Royals to get their stories from that season. I just love that team so much. So we got the chance to catch up with one former Royal who played on the 2003 team. Jimmy Gobble joined us on the show earlier today. We asked him how fun it was to be on that 2003 Royals team.
And when that started taking shape, like you just said, you know, I wasn't there in 14, 15. I had retired, but as it started taking shape, you saw the pieces coming into play and how everything was adding up and where everyone, and I mean, it was just such a unique time, you know, to obviously be a Royal or be a Royal fan during their runs, and still having, you know, a lot of communication with some of the guys in that clubhouse. I'm sure for the most part, it was a lot like that 2003 year.
Right now, we're talking to Jimmy Gobble, who pitched for the Royals from 2003 to 2008. I just want stories about some of the guys on that team. I'm sure you have a lot of them. One person who I thought was maybe the biggest fan favorite of them all on that team was Jose Lima. He just had such a larger-than-life personality. He's 30. You're 21, 22. Was he a guy that was sort of a mentor to the young guys on the team?
He was, you know. Jose, he came in Lima time. He came in and got off to such a hot start. And, man, I mean, you know, the city kind of just brought him in. So whenever I was pitching, he would help me. He would come down and talk to me during the bullpens, talk to me about what he was seeing. And he had a unique way of pitching, not as much like mine where I was left-handed, but we would really compare – and honestly, compare and contrast to what we were trying to do and how we were trying to set hitters up. But he was always such a fun, happy guy. He really kept the clubhouse, you know, the clubhouse character that particular year, all in all, with all the people you had in it, was really unique. But Jose, like I said, I never was around him where he was super angry or whatever. He was just always go-oriented and positive and just such a fun-loving guy.
I'm a big believer, Jimmy, that teams take on the personality of their leader. So if your leader is lighthearted, then that attitude sort of permeates through the rest of the roster. You mentioned Tony Pena. I felt like the city really followed Tony Pena. Like, you guys had the We Believe, and everybody just sort of rallied around this one individual that you guys could eventually make the playoffs. How accurate is that he sort of galvanized you guys to believe that you guys had a chance to make the playoffs?
Well, it happened. It started in spring training. I mean, seriously, like, I think our – I'm not sure if it was our first team meeting or not, but I know it was very early on in spring training. Tony, he came in, and he started just talking, and then he actually came up you know, with the We Believe slogan, and he kept saying it and repeating it. And, you know, honestly, like the guys, and it was an older clubhouse. So a lot of times to get leadership from what I would call Tony as a player's manager, especially that year, he really allowed our guys to have leeway in how they went about their business. So he started the process of We Believe, and just, you know, we believe in the process and what we're trying to do. And he was instrumental to that. And he honestly, for the whole time throughout the year, he believed that. I remember in Minnesota, I think we lost game one of the series, and we really needed to win the series. So we had to win two more, and the game had just ended. And honestly, I don't know how it happened. Maybe there was a walk-off something. It was right at the end of August, early September. And Tony comes in, and, you know, he starts pacing. And in Minnesota, the clubhouse wasn't very big, so he starts pacing back and forth. And, you know, I'm scared to death. I don't know what's going to happen. And he grabs the radio, and he actually just turns it up. And he's like, just have fun. Just enjoy this process. Tomorrow we'll go get it. Don't worry about it. Flush it. You know, like someone like that in that pressure situation just tried to make everyone relax. And he actually took on the burden himself. So that was pretty unique. And like I said, as a young player, that really set with me because of how cool of a moment that was to know, you know, how close we were. We kind of just lost that lead, and now we've got to come back and win two. You know, so it was really unique that he had that mindset.
Jimmy, when you think back to your time in Kansas City, what do you think most fondly on? What's your fondest memories of your five seasons here in KC?
Really, the relationships you build. You know, the people you come in contact with, you know, the clubhouse guys, the minor league coaches. You know, LC was one guy that was so instrumental to my development, who I was. Jeff Garber down in Wilmington, Delaware, when he managed me, was one of the top tier man. Just worked his tail off. And then getting to see Dayton come in and do what he did, and still what he's doing is just, you know, I mean, what Kansas City has done over the course of, you know, the past, 15 plus years has been really unique. But as I was there, it was the relationships, the clubhouse camaraderie, because some of our teams were not very well. We played with a lot of heart, but we didn't win a lot. But all in all, you know, getting to be around Buddy Bell and Billy Dorn and, you know, just, my gosh. Like, I think back on those times, and they were so fun. Now, again, there's a lot of work that goes into playing professional baseball. And, you know, people probably don't like to hear the term work. It wasn't necessarily work, but, you know, there's a lot of time spent with a lot of people in that clubhouse. So, you know, when you talk about playing the games, obviously that is the most important part, but building the relationships with all the people, the Mark Tiens, John Buck, Lou Kochaver, Alex Gordon, Reggie Sanders, Mark Grizzolana, all these people were just, honestly, you take a little bit from all of them and you carry those relationships with you. So I would say that's one of the most fondest things I have. And spring training being somewhat relaxed, and me and Greeky playing golf together, and me giving him hell trying to beat him, and really never could. But, you know, just all those little things that, you know, kind of make you smile as I'm coming into my 40s now, you know, and and you sit there and, you know, you think about what you got to experience, you know. So that's about it, really. I mean, the playing of the games was obviously really cool, but, you know, all the relationships were the unique part.
Zach Greinke is still my favorite Royal of all time. I got an opportunity to meet him on a Royals caravan. You remember when you guys were like go to random cities in across the Midwest and just meet fans? So I was in college. I went to college in Joplin, and the Royals did a caravan there, and Greinke was there, and just no one was talking to him. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go talk to him. And I talked to him for 15 minutes, and ever since that moment, he has always been my favorite Royal. Give me your favorite Zach Greinke story.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now, me and him go way back. So, I have so many. To find one, you know, he would come here, and I had a golf tournament here for we had a golf tournament, and we raised money for a cancer center here locally. And Zach would come here, and, you know, he'd stay for a while. And, you know, he didn't really like any publicity. So when he'd come here, he would randomly just go off on his own and, you know, do whatever. And he's just Zach. I mean, you know, when me and him would hang out and we'd do whatever, you know, I remember knocking on his door at like, you know, 3:30. Hey, you're going to come take the bus? And he was starting that day, and he looked like he'd just wake up. He'd be like, no, I'll be there later. And he'd just shut the door on me. And he's just one of a kind. And, you know, he's never changed who he was or how he goes about his business. He's always just so, you know, I mean, what a unique talent he is. But, you know, honestly, I'm trying to picture one of my favorite Greinke stories, and it would have to be something along the lines of, you know, him not even understanding sometimes what he actually says to reporters at his – whenever he was younger. I remember me and David Ritschke would be like, why are you saying that to a reporter? Don't do that. And, you know, little things like that with Zach was just really unique. You know, but I don't have a specific story because – man, that's so long ago. I hope some of that helps, but, you know.
No, I can.
Being in Zach's wedding was really unique, too. But, you know, Zach's just Zach. Everybody asked me about him, but, you know, I just kind of laugh and just be like, you know, that's just Zach. If you get him on a one-on-one setting, he'll talk to you as long as you want to talk.
I can't imagine what Zach Greinke's wedding is like. I imagine it's like 13 people there, but it was the greatest reception ever.
It was a good reception. Yeah, there's a lot of people there. I mean, you know, Hochaver was there, Gordo was there, some of his past teammates were there. You know, his wife, who's an amazing person, she's a lot more different than Zach. She talks a lot, very personable. Yeah, it was a really good time. Like, my oldest, he was there, and he was – I remember he had a little tie on, and he might have been – 2, 3, 4, I don't know. And he's over there doing his little thing. So we had a really good time.
And that was Jimmy Gobble joining us on the show earlier today. Really happy we got a chance to catch up with former Royal starting pitcher Jimmy Gobble joining us on the show. Coming up, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. And I have a question to ask you guys about the Royals. I can't decide where I stand on it, but I think you guys can help me. I'll tell you all about it coming up.
610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to The Drive.
Your national cash contest code word for 5 o'clock is WASH. W-A-S-H. WASH. W-A-S-H. WASH. Text that to 72881. 72881. Your national cash contest code word for the 5 o'clock hour is WASH. So I've got a question to ask you guys. And I think I have the right answer, but I'm not 100% certain. Rob, you and I have been following the Royals for virtually the same amount of time. The extra 2 years of life that I have has not granted me some level of Royals wisdom that you have not been able to achieve. Is it fair to say in our lifetime that the Royals have only exceeded expectations two times? And those 2 years are 2003 and 2014? Obviously, 2015 was a magical year. But if you're coming off going to a World Series and you return virtually everybody, there certainly is an expectation that you can win the World Series. So if you want to throw 14 and 15 both into the same pot, I'm not really going to fight it that hard, but that would be my argument on why not to throw 15 in there. We came into the season thinking that the Royals had a chance to be a very special team. They ended up being a special team. They ended up winning the World Series. But I'm 32. I'll turn 33 in mid-August. You're 30. Is it fair to say there's only 2 years in which the Royals have exceeded our expectations, and that's 13 and 4, and that's 03 and 14? Maybe you would throw 13 in that category because that team certainly was good, but there certainly was a feeling heading into 13 that the Royals were starting to figure some things out and their young talent was starting to develop in a way in which you could really expect them to win. But I'm just trying to kind of add the numbers up, and I can't think of any other two seasons in which we would deem that the Royals exceeded their expectations outside of 03 and 2014.
I would agree. I think the Royals exceed expectations twice, and furthermore, I agree, 14 and 03. 15, they met expectations. Because remember, they not only were coming off a World Series, they were the prohibitive favorite to do something good in the Central, and then they went out, won the Central in the one seed, et cetera, et cetera. But is 15 the only time that they've met expectations? Because it's kind of a microcosm of our lifetime as Royals fans. They've only exceeded expectations, which are usually generally low, twice, and they've only met generally low expectations once. Like, the 19 team was really, really bad. I'm not saying it, but did anyone think it was going to be that level of bad? They didn't even meet the low expectations. So when the team has no expectations, they fail to meet them. So yes, they've only exceeded twice. I think they've only met once in our lifetime.
What frustrates me most about this season, and why I think I've been hard on the Royals the last 3 weeks. Like, I'll be honest with you. Like, I have been hard, and I haven't really been giving them the benefit of the doubt that we typically give the hometown team. The reason I'm so frustrated this year is I do feel somewhat lied to by the Royals. There haven't been many seasons in my life in which I believed and the Royals also sold me that they were going to be good. In 18 and 19, the Royals didn't really hide that they were going to be bad. Like, the Royals were just pretty open. Hey, we know it's going to be some lean years after the close of the window, but it's more about the future. They kind of sold it like, you know, nobody's going to come out and say we're not trying to win this season. But look at the rosters. Look at their actions. Look at their words. It was hard to believe that the Royals were going to be good in 18 and 19. And I would also say that the fan expectation was, hey, it's cool. Hey, we're still basking in the glow of winning this World Series. It doesn't matter. The Royals could have went 0-162. Ned would have stayed there. Dayton would have stayed there. Everybody would have been good because Kansas City was still glowing. Glowing with what happened in 2015. In 2020, we all gave them a pass. Hey, it doesn't matter what happens this year. This year just doesn't really count. What is happy baseball's back? We're going to go through just 4 years of, eh, it's okay. It's like
some of my anger, my frustration towards this whole thing is the Royals lied to us. They told us that they believe this year was different, and it ended up being the exact same Royals team that we've watched virtually our entire lives. I sort of feel like, and maybe this is the frustration that I think KU football fans have, and Rob, I promise you I'm not taking a shot at Kansas football. It's not like you think that Kansas is going to win 8 games this year. You'd be happy if Kansas won 4 games this year, right? If they won 4 games this year and they were more competitive in the other games, KU fans would deem that to be a good season. They deem that to be a step in the right direction. We set a 75-win expectation on the Royals this year. 75. It's not a great season by any means, but a 75-win expectation. You remember that show we did where the Royals were on pace to win 84 games, and I was saying I'd run to press the button, and the consensus on the text line was that I was a defeatist, and why would you press the button on 84 games? That was 3 weeks ago we had this conversation on the show about that. It was 3 weeks ago. People were like, yeah, we'll press the button, or no, we won't press the button. There's no chance they finish with a winning record. Do you think they finished with 75 wins this season? Rob, I would say there's also no chance they do that unless they get red hot in September, which would be a very Royals thing to do. We set, I would say, a reasonable expectation for them to clear, and I don't think they're going to clear it. If I had to guess, this team's going to lose at least 90 games again. Again. And that part should just be unacceptable with where they are in their stages of development and what they did this offseason. They spent real money. I don't want to hear about the salary cap or the financial limitations of baseball. Coming off a pandemic, the Royals did nothing but add payroll. They signed Carlos Santana. They traded for Benintendi. They made moves to suggest that they were going to be competitive this year and that they were trying to be competitive this year. And they have fallen way off the mark. They had an 11-game losing streak in May. They had one stretch in which they won one of 12 games, and that's not the 11-game losing streak time. Haven't they had 5 different at least losing streaks of 5 or more games this season? Like, we talk about the roller coaster ride. The roller coaster ride was in April and May. For June and July, that has been bad. Let's call it what it is. Heading into May, they were the best team in the American League. Since then, they have been one of the 3 worst teams in baseball. And I believe that we were over this. The Hope Harrison thing wasn't really an act. It wasn't a charade. It wasn't a bit. I believe that the Royals had taken the necessary step forward. We now are in the position of waiting another year to see that development. And I'd argue that we haven't really taken a huge step forward. You guys feel like you know what the Royals have in Hunter Dozier? Do you feel like you know what the Royals have in Brad Keller or Brady Singer or Adalberto Mondesi? For the most part, we're in the exact same place that we were heading into the season. It may be a worse off place because coming into this season, we were debating on whether or not Brad Keller was a 1 or an ace. Nobody's arguing that heading into next season. I just thought the Royals were going to be better than this, and they're not. And I'm not going to lie to you, that upsets me. That frustrates me. They should be further along than this. Nobody's thinking that they should be the White Sox. The White Sox are one of the 3 best teams in Major League Baseball. But they shouldn't be battling with the Tigers to avoid finishing in last place in their division.
To your roller coaster analogy, the people who like roller coasters will get this. It's kind of like the Mamba, Worlds of Fun. Start out really high, big drop, little spike back up, and now we're just coasting to the finish. Because that's what happened the Royals season. They were the best team in baseball in April. Then they had that losing streak. Then they bounced back up. And that's why we had the topic about, would you take 84 wins? And now they're just coasting toward a season where no one seems to care and it's almost August. That's kind of what the Royals season is. And I think you're right. All the things we had to get answered or see progression from, or the things that we thought, okay, X will happen in 2021, and that gives us tons of hope for 2022, plus the known commodities the Royals have, it's a good time to be a Royals fan, stepping stone season. None of those things have been answered. We are excited about Hunter Dozier's contract extension and the fact that he could take a step forward. He hasn't. We are excited about the fact that Adalberto Mondesi was going into the season healthy, and he could be this shortstop, everyday shortstop of this team going forward. When he's healthy, he's looked good all 5 games. We don't know anything about that. We thought Whit Merrifield's a known commodity. He hasn't played to Whit level. We thought, okay, maybe it's just one done for Soler, but you still know you're getting from Soler. You're not getting that. We thought all this young pitching will come up, or all this young pitching will take a step forward. Keller and Bubich and Singer got a lot of time last year. They're going to take a step forward. They haven't. They've regressed and or plateaued. And then you thought Lynch and Kowar and this group of young pitchers down the minors are going to come up and give us a jolt of life to this team. They haven't. And even things in the bullpen were like, well, Josh Dalmont has a live arm. Look what he is. It's real. It's awesome. It's regressed. There's just the questions we had in April and the things we thought would be progressing in a certain way. We still have those questions, and it's middle of July. Like, that's the easiest way to say it. It can't be a stepping stone when you're not stepping in any direction other than backwards.
Text line 913-576-7610. What do you think the impact is of losing Yordano Ventura? Is it still too soon? I think that set us back 5 years. The Royals would just be the 2009 Royals then if Yordano had happened. They're 17 games under 500. I don't know what Yordano Ventura would have turned into. None of us know. Yordano Ventura is not fixing. They're 17 games under 500 at the All-Star break. Maybe they're 11 games under 500 at the All-Star break with Yordano Ventura. Someone said, C-Dot, it's time to stop talking about the Royals. We want Chiefs content, my guy. Bro, the two most interesting thing with the Chiefs are one of their players is being charged with a felony, and people are debating the pronunciation of one of their players' names. There ain't nothing happening with the Chiefs. Keep it locked in right here as The Drive. You're listening on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We gotta get out of here.
Before we go,
you listen to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. So, today is nothing. The only thing on today is the Gold Cup, right, Rob?
Yeah, and it's a 9 o'clock central kick for the United States.
And they're
just
playing,
yuck.
I don't even know what country they're playing.
Martinique.
Bro, could you find that on a map?
It's in the Caribbean, so yes.
Like right now, if I handed you a blank map and I said point to the country that the United States is playing today, could you find it? There's no chance you could find Martinique on a map. No
I would
chance.
Have a ballpark idea, which
well,
is the
yeah,
Caribbean.
I have a ballpark idea of where I think it is, but... Do you think you could identify it?
Probably not. No.
No, no chance. I'll keep an eye on it because of my guy, Busio.
I want him to start today. That'd be fun.
They're going to smoke this team, right?
They should. Canada beat them 4-0 when they played last week. So
that's like getting beat 96-0 in a football game.
Yes, this should be...
4-0's bad.
This should be clean living onto the knockout stage.
No, that's bad. That's real bad. That's it. There's nothing else on today. We were supposed to be out at the stadium today. We're not going. There's no basketball today. There's no baseball today.
The one baseball game got COVIDed out.
Today is go to a movie day. Today is watch a movie day.
You know, today is for you, Empire Strikes Back night.
Can I tell you guys something in confidence?
Sure, no one's listening.
I've been debating on watching Gossip Girl.
The new one?
The old one.
Have you never seen Gossip Girl, the old one?
I've never seen an episode of it. I've been debating on watching it. Because right now, I'm at the point in the calendar where I normally just start Friday Night Lights over again. But I know everything that's going to happen in Friday Night Lights. That I kind of do need a new teen drama angst. So I'm thinking about watching Gossip Girl. I haven't fully decided yet. But I am thinking about, is it like a long show? Like, is it like 6 or 7 seasons of it? Does it like have a point where it just completely falls off? I know you've watched Gossip Girl.
I've seen Gossip Girl. You know who narrates Gossip Girl is Kristen Bell. I think it's like 5 or 6 seasons.
Okay.
It's got some people in it though, man. It's got like Blake Lively, Leighton Mester. Did you watch You on Netflix? The guy who was You was in it.
I know who some of the people are in it. I don't know anything
Bucky
about
from,
it.
Bucky from Winter Soldier. The Winter Soldier's in it. Like,
also, I need to watch the show.
It's got people, man.
I need to watch Gossip Girl.
You really do. I can't believe you didn't watch it. Like, that was like 07. That's when we were like high school age. That was like peak time.
Someone said Space Jam comes out tonight at 2 a.m. Central. You think I'm in the middle of the night just watching Space Jam? I can't just wait till tomorrow to watch it when the sun is up?
And Rotten Tomatoes, shockingly, hates that film.
Yeah, I kind of think...
Film's unfair. Movie.
I kind of think what we're doing in Space Jam really comes down to how much you like LeBron. Like, to me, I haven't seen a kid's movie that I feel like adults are going out of their way to be critical of the way that I think they're doing with Space Jam. And I'm like, I don't really care if you 27 years old doesn't like Space Jam. Does your 9-year-old like it? That's really all that matters about Space Jam, right? It's like, I don't know why this is so difficult. Does your kid like Space Jam? If your kid thinks it stinks, then they failed. Then they didn't meet the objective. If you 41-year-old don't enjoy it, then I think they're fine. I do plan on watching it. I'll watch it at some point over the course of the next week. But I'm not like in a rush to watch it. I still need to watch The Forever Purge. Like, part of me wants to get these 80s movies over because there's so many movies that I haven't been able to watch just because I just spend my free time watching 80s movies. Like, I've been wanting to watch that Jason Statham. I've been wanting to watch that. I still haven't seen The Forever Purge. I've been waiting to watch that. I still haven't watched Mayor of Easttown. Is that how you pronounce it? Mayor of Easttown?
Yep.
Easton?
I was going to start that, but I started Secession instead, which Secession is incredible.
Yeah, I've been wanting to watch Mayor of Easton. That's been the show that I'm planning to watch next after I get done with these 80s movies. But I am kind of thinking about watching Gossip Girl. I'm not going to lie to you. I am planning on watching it. But that's it. We are in the time of day where there is nothing happening right now. So I appreciate that you guys even listen right now. I appreciate it. That's it. I don't have anything else today. Someone said Wrath of Man is good. I do want to watch it. I hadn't seen it. You liked Black Widow, didn't you?
Yeah, that's very much my niche. I'm a big Marvel guy, but Black Widow's good. Really fun hand-to-hand combat, kind of like Mission Impossible meets the Marvel Universe.
I watched this documentary. I've been watching just mad basketball documentaries. I watched this one. It was called Up Against the World. It was about this coach in Kentucky who his team won state and they didn't renew his contract. It was very fake Last Chance U vibes, but that's a formula that's just always going to work, you know? Strong coach, kids in a certain situation. It's a timeless staple for a show.
A formula that works.
All right, I'm out of here. Bink is coming up next. I'll catch you guys tomorrow. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.